Hi, I'm your host Keshav Chauhan, and this is Milliseconds, an attempt at personifying all of the things we see but don't think about. Writing since the age of 8, Shreya Patter is a freelancer with professional experience in content writing and digital marketing. Her content is focused on gaining engagement and creating a brilliant brand presence online and offline. She believes in sharing and communicating the true essence and vision of the brand through her content. This conversation follows a similar tangent. So, you know, you have been like freelancing for a very, very long time. I have gained a massive following on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Like, why did you start this and where does this journey begin?
So, freelancing, like I got into freelancing about 3.5 years ago. And it happened pretty much by chance because one of my posts went viral, which is how people found me on LinkedIn and then they DM'd me saying that they would like me to write for them. So it wasn't something that I really started myself consciously, like it's not something I stepped out and did. But because of that one moment, I realized that, okay, this is cool. People are willing to, you know, hire me, pay me. They want to work with me and I think I can do a good job. So yeah, that's how I started freelancing, from that one post and just thinking, okay, can we make this happen again? And it just went on from there.
I think it was the post when you met Jeff Weiner, the former CEO of LinkedIn, and you like wrote about your experience and it went viral. So do you think that had this not happened, you would have not, like you would not have been recording this or you have not started freelancing? Do you think that?
I think I would have started at some point. That post just made it all a bit easier and it gave me a direction, like because of that post I figured out that okay, LinkedIn is definitely going to work for me, so I stuck to LinkedIn. Maybe if I would have, let's say, taken a course or something, or if I would have seen other people what they're doing, then maybe I would have been, let's say, trying a little bit on LinkedIn, a little bit on Twitter, a little bit on Instagram. I would probably be doing outreach more, I would probably be more focused on like client acquisition only. Whereas now, I think because of the way it started, I get to enjoy the process a little bit more. And I get to experiment more as well. So just something that came with that post.
Like when you first met him, had you prepared any questions or were they on the spot? Like what exactly happened that day?
So he was there for an interview. And I think after the interview, like, you know, how guests wait outside and you can just take pictures with them. So that's what was going on. And a few people were talking as well. And I just realized that he's standing, like he's there, you know, people, like he's not rushing to get into his car. He's actually waiting and he's talking to people. He's taking pictures. He doesn't mind getting 3-4 pictures clicked as well. So it's like, okay, you know, he's here. And I took a picture and I went away. And then I was like, okay, he's still here. You should, you know, ask him something, go talk. And so I just asked him about LinkedIn, like, because I just started college and, at the time, now still LinkedIn is known as a content creation platform, but at the time it was mainly, okay, LinkedIn means job search. So I basically went up to the CEO and asked him, okay, what do I do? I'm a student. How do I, you know, what do I do? What am I supposed to do with the account? And yeah, that's how the conversation started. A lot of people think that as if, you know, I went with a notepad and like I made notes, okay, is the strategy to get to 100k on LinkedIn, you know, like he gave me some secret formula, because a lot of people ask me that question, like he gave you some secret algorithm hack or something, you know. It wasn't that. It was just this conversation. And yeah, I wrote about the conversation and people liked it. He saw the post again, so he commented. And it blew up.
Like do you feel that in retrospect that his humility was what drove you to LinkedIn as compared to other platforms like Instagram or Twitter?
I think like LinkedIn for me, it was more of, first of all, nobody's creating content over there. Just realizing that, okay, this is possible even here. Because look, I was writing for a long time, but I never really published anything under my name. Maybe in school, a few articles here and there and stuff like that. But getting that sort of, you know, let's say on social media, I never published it under my name. I have some poems out there which are anonymously published or under a pen name or something. So getting on LinkedIn was definitely different. And I think the opportunities that came were also different from Instagram and Twitter, because LinkedIn, at the time, again, nobody was creating content. So there was this huge space to make a mark and to make a mark fast and to be known fast. So I'm just glad that I found LinkedIn at the right time, I guess.
Because it's very unusual, people starting to create content on a platform like LinkedIn. It could be like back then, it could be like more normal because you had a very good space to put out on. So yeah, are you still in touch with Jeff or not?
No. In personal capacity, no.
Okay, so why did you like start writing? This was another question. What, you had some thoughts in your mind, like we wanted to like write them, but why? What was the reason behind it?
It just came naturally to me. Like writing was mainly about, you know, I think the practice came through because of school. So I was very like, I really enjoyed writing for my English homework. Like, you know, doing all my English homework was my favorite part. Or writing for like poems for school or speeches or like, you know, welcome speeches, thank you speeches, giving a talk on something, elocutions, all these things where I could just go up and write something or go up and speak something. Just, you know, get my thoughts and get what I think, my opinions out there publicly. That's just been a thing I do. So, yeah, so I think doing that is what got me started with writing. And over time, it changed. Of course, content writing is very much different from, you know, writing for yourself, writing in a journal. But that practice was important. I think that a lot of my narrative writing style, all the storytelling, the even like the post that went viral on LinkedIn, that was a story. And, you know, like knowing how to narrate a story, the sequence, the order of events, how to make it, you know, presentable in a way that people would want to keep reading. So all of that has come from those many years of practice. So I started writing just because of that opportunity that kept coming to me. And because I was like, okay, this is something I'm good at. This is something I love. Yeah. And my teachers would always, you know, appreciate it. My parents were always appreciative. And I used to, you know, like I just had a lot of opportunity, I think, to keep doing it. So that's what mattered the most.
Like if someone wants to start writing, should he start writing fiction or nonfiction? What's your take on this?
You can write anything. It doesn't really matter what you write, especially if you want to get in the practice of writing or just you want to start writing. You're new to it. When you're new to something like this, it takes a lot of mental effort and it takes like, you know, making time for it. You'll probably need like 30 minutes every day. You'll have to probably make a routine or something. You'll probably have to actually force yourself to sit down and write even for 5 minutes in a journal, because it's not something you're used to doing. It's not a habit. It's something new you have to do. And you'll probably even procrastinate. You'll think, okay, one YouTube video, then I'll do it. Or just let me finish my lunch and maybe, you know, some evening chai or something, then I'll do it. So it requires that mental effort to start. So it doesn't matter what you write. It's more about getting the habit of it. So do that.
Got it. So now your TED Talk also is on the same topic of just showing up. Like 99% of success just comes from showing up. So what do you like exactly mean by showing up? Like, does it mean like attendance or something else? Like just coming to the gym, not doing anything, not that. Like what does it exactly mean?
So showing up, first thing is attendance, definitely. Just being present over there physically in that moment, definitely. Apart from attendance, it's also attendance, and then you also need attention. That's important. Yeah. You have to be in that moment, not just physically. The next step is mentally. And the third thing I think would be action. So action is you doing something about that moment. It could be making the most of it, just soaking it all in, or going up to people, conversing with them, or writing a post about it and publishing it on LinkedIn or Twitter, wherever. So yeah, I think that's the whole sequence of showing up, where you attend and then you pay attention and then you act on whatever there is around you.
Yeah. And look, how does one overcome the friction involved when starting something new? How the attendance part of the stuff, you know, usually people don't even get to the first point. Yeah. So that's why what do you think, like how can one overcome that friction?
I think there has to be a really strong purpose behind you doing that. Just a really strong reason why you want to do it. It could be anything. It could even be because it just helps you relax. That's a good enough reason. You know, not everything has to be productive. Even if something is freeing for your mind, that's a good enough reason. But the only thing is that you have to have a very clear, defined reason. Otherwise, why do you care about starting anyway? Like, it doesn't matter if you don't do it. So once you have that reason, one of the things you can do is actually write it down on a piece of paper, multiple pieces of paper if you want, and stick it everywhere. Like, stick it in your on your bathroom mirror, your laptop, maybe, like, you know, on the cover or something. Make it your mobile wallpaper. Like, just make sure that that reason is around you. And I think that's a good way to get yourself, like, give yourself that push to at least start doing something. Because every time you see that reason, you'll remember what you're missing out on if you're not doing it. So I think that's worth a shot.
Yeah. Also, like, as we are content creators, what happens to both of us, like, is that millions of ideas are popping in our mind constantly. Like, whenever we're watching a film, whenever we're reading a book, there comes an idea that this could be a potential reel or a post. Like, how do you find time to switch off that side of the brain? Like, is it possible?
I tweeted about that today or yesterday. It was like, you know, when you are a content creator, it becomes so difficult to look at anything as something beyond content. You know, even if you are, like, you're traveling, the first thing you're thinking is, okay, do I have to make enough videos so that I can make a good travel read out of it later? Or you're talking to someone and you're like, oh, what this person said is good, but not for yourself. But you're like, this will make a good story for, like, a LinkedIn post or a tweet later. So yes, that is one of the occupational hazards, as I call it, of being a content creator. And I think switching off is not really possible as such, at least for me, because it's just how I have been for a long time. But I think I just need to find more things that disconnect me from work completely. As I said, not everything has to be productive. Something I'm learning how to do quite recently, that, you know, just do something that's not productive as well. Or something that there's this person on Twitter called Ajak. He says, be anti-productive. Like, it doesn't even, it has to have no meaning. Like, you know, whatever you do, something just don't have to have any purpose at all. And I think, when you do those things is when you can kind of distract yourself or keep yourself away from thinking this needs to be content too. So I'm trying to find what that thing means for me. Yeah, it's something worth learning, I think.
Can you expand a bit on anti-productive? I'm, like, really curious about that.
See, I was surprised first time I heard it. So it's on his Twitter or on his Instagram, and in conversing with this person, Ajak, he told me that, you know, there's this kind of a burnout that also happens when you're just being too productive. Like, you know, for some people, it's like you just can't get yourself to do stuff. But for some people, like, I know it happens with me sometimes, where it's all about work, or it's all about just doing the best possible thing in the best possible way. And that leads to a different kind of burnout. Overall, you know, things are moving, you're doing well, you know, you have clients maybe, or you're getting new followers, you're making money, whatever. But you know that there has to be more. This can't be everything, and this is not everything. And so that's where the concept of being anti-productive comes from, that you don't have to, you know, something like, I think in one of his stories on Instagram, he shared that some of his multimillionaire friends, they like play video games or watch anime or watch Tom and Jerry, because, I mean, it's not productive. It makes you no money. And it... ideally, it would be like, if it was a bestseller book, watching Tom and Jerry for a multimillionaire would be a waste of time. But no, they do it because some things have to be done just because for no reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting take.
I think as content creators, we kind of live in two extremes. Either we are working too much or, like, not working at all. And, like, for example, there was a tweet which I came across. It mentioned that entrepreneurs are some of the most lonely people I've ever met. So the person tweeted this thing. And that's true to some extent with content creators as well, because, you are free at 1:30 a.m. at night. You want to talk to someone, but there's no one to talk to because that's how your day is structured. Do you know how to tackle this thing? Like, how to escape this loneliness?
entrepreneurship or, you know, freelancing or all those things are lonely in context of work because you're working by yourself. Yeah. One of the most important things to realize is that it is lonely only in that context, and it doesn't have to be lonely in all ways. So as long as you make time to go out, to do other things, to do like group activities, meet your friends, maybe go out for a lunch or dinner, spend time with your family. As long as those non-work things are with other people, I think it becomes much more easier to get out of that loneliness. Because yeah. you have to, and again, it's something that requires conscious effort because you have to step outside, which is beyond our normal way of being. You know, we are usually at home or in our workspace. That's how life is for us. So yeah, again, it takes that extra step of acting and actually, you know, going out and making it possible.
Also, it's difficult because as content creators, we are in a circle of content creators. We are friends with other creators as well. And like, they also are very, very busy. And it's very difficult to find a time to meet. Like, has it ever happened with you, like, you texting someone, let's meet, because you were like, so exhausted that you wanted to like have a social life at some to some scale? Has it ever happened?
My friends are not content creators. My friends are people that's good. Who are busy, of course. They have yeah. their own life. So we connect over video call. I'm usually somewhere. I'm usually another part of the world from them. So it's usually over a video call. But yeah, it doesn't, again, it doesn't have to be physical as well. But just be in touch with other human beings, know that there's a life outside you and, you know, your house. I think that's important.
So I will like ask another question, which is on a different tangent. So do you think that if in a world without cameras, like without the feature to record ourselves, like take pictures, it would be better to live in that world as compared to this world? What's your take on this?
I don't think we have that world anymore.
Yeah, it's a fictional question. Yeah. Just hypothetically.
I don't know how to think about it. I think definitely in the sense that everything has become for show. Like a lot of things have become for show now. That comes first, you know, that priority of, okay, but I need to look a certain way or I need to be a certain way or do something a certain way. Like it has to be grand. It has to be, it has to meet some standard that it's worthy of being on social media. I think that has become a new pressure for a lot of people. And anybody who can disconnect from that pressure, I don't think they really care about whether photographs or videos and stuff exist. So my take on that is it might be a better world, but not really. I mean, you know, this had to happen eventually. More is yet to happen. So we'll see how it goes.
Do you think that in the coming years, there could be like times when Instagram, Facebook or any social platform would shut down because there are some rules enforced that you can't operate on weekends? Do you think this might be true to an extent?
Who will shut them down?
The government, most probably.
Why would they do it?
The government or...
Everyone gets money from us being online. Everyone does.
Have you seen a movie known as, I forgot the name, Ready Player One?
No.
Also, it's a movie about Metaverse, like what Metaverse could look like. So in the movie, what's depicted is that the real world has completely like been destroyed. There's nothing left in the real world. And people only live in the virtual world, like wearing headsets and all that stuff. They are playing a game in the virtual world. So because of this reason, because this is a reality which we might be heading towards. So because of this reason, do you think that there could be some time limits on these platforms by the government?
I don't know. I don't have any views on that.
Okay, no problem. So another question which I had is that while building an audience on any social platform, there are two things which we can like do. There are two types of audiences. One is like you are famous among the right people, like but you have a less following. But you know, like you know millionaires and all the people who can potentially employ you. And on the other side is like having a huge following, but those are not the people that can hire you or be potential clients. So which one are you inclined to? What's your take on this?
I do both based on the platform that I'm on. So when I started out, LinkedIn was the first thing for me, which is mainly connecting with people who can hire me for my services, you know, larger deals, work one-on-one with people. Instagram and also Twitter to some extent are mostly for building an audience of freelancers. So these are not people who will hire me for my services, but probably people who can buy a course or buy my ebooks, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you can build both based on what audience and what platform you pick. You can do both.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So last question, like, what is one piece of advice that you have for like freelancers who are just starting out? Anything.
I think the thing we spoke about, the showing up thing, that was definitely something that applies even to freelancers, to everyone. That showing up is 99% of the job done. So showing up does not mean just going there. It also means doing something about it. So no matter where you show up, like let's say you showed up to listen to this podcast all the way and you're listening to this right now, the next step is, okay, what are you going to do about this information? Whatever you found out here, whatever you learned here, whatever, if there was anything you found of meaning here, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to use it? That's what matters. So yeah, that's the last piece of advice, to show up and make the most of it.
So on the lines of showing up, you mentioned three A's, which you can call attendance, attention, and action. And you have also said that showing up is 99% of the stuff. What's the 1%? Because I think the three A's cover it pretty much. Mm-hmm. What's the last?
1% is consistency. I mean, the largest consistency is the larger chunk, if you look at it broadly. But in this particular thing, it's you can't show up once. Like, I couldn't have just showed up to that one event, written and published one LinkedIn post and be like, okay, I showed up, I acted on it, I did all the three things, right? I made the most of it in that sense until the action. But what about after that? That one post isn't going to give me a freelancing career. Doing it every single day is going to give me a freelancing career. So that remaining 1% becomes consistency. Doing it for the long term.
But like showing up, in fact, means consistency only. Like showing up every day. It's,
it depends. Same. I mean,
okay.
Look, you can get tired of showing up as well. You can think, okay, now I've done enough. You know, now I don't need to. Or it could be in terms of not doing enough of the same thing, or it could be in terms of not trying more new things. So I think the consistency can go both ways, where you are not just showing up to the one thing that's always working out for you, but you're still exploring new things, which again ties back to the whole anti-productive thing, that show up even to things that are not productive, so that it's good for you. So, yeah.
I think in a way, it's like adding a layer of showing up on showing up. So, yeah. Something of that sort, probably. Like, this was a really good conversation. Like, now we'll move to rapid fire. I'll be asking you 9 questions, and I have to answer each question in 10 seconds. Okay. Your favorite social media platform?
Why does everyone do this on podcast? I hate it. But LinkedIn and Instagram, both.
Equally.
Yeah, equally.
Okay. Writing or speaking?
Writing.
A word that describes you perfectly.
God, this is hard. I don't know.
Anything you you can think about it.
Consistent is a good word for me.
Writing fiction or writing non-fiction?
Non-fiction.
Long-form writing or short-form writing?
Long-form.
Oh, nice, nice. How did you spend your first paycheck?
My first paycheck was about 250 rupees for the 4 days of that month. So, for an internship I did. So, I didn't cash it. It just kept in my cupboard, like, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good way. A thing you obsess about most that people don't. Like, a thing you obsess about that most people don't.
I need to think. If it's a rapid fire, it has to be more like, you know, one food one or food two. It can't be such deep questions.
you can think, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that I find important, that most
like people, you obsess about to a point that most people wouldn't. That's the question.
I can catch grammar mistakes very easily, and it annoys me because I do that while reading. I won't probably point it out, but yeah, I can do that while reading. It's something.
Nice. One book you would want everyone to read.
Can I say my ebook?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so for anyone who's a freelancer, I think my ebook, Freelancing Freedom, for sure, must read.
Perfect. The best thing about freelancing. Last question.
That there's no upper limit. Whatever you think you can do.
But you can go sideways as well, right? You can do work as many hours as you want to. Like, you can either work 24 hours a day or like 5 hours a day.
Yeah, so there's no limit, like, you know, either way, up or down. Like, no limit to how good it can be. Maybe let's just
have that way. Great. It was really great having you on the show, Priya. Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, thanks a lot for sticking till the end. Hope you had an amazing time. You can find Shreya with the links in the description below. If you enjoyed this episode, do give us a rating and subscribe on Spotify or wherever you listen. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter @MillisecondsHQ for more updates. For any questions or feedback regarding the podcast, you can email me at MillisecondsHQ@gmail.com. Stay tuned. Cheers.